Not even when I'm talking. Scary. Good morning. It is good to have you here. Hey, I want to do a couple things in the welcome before we get to our verses. next week, for those of you who don't know, next week is very important. I know for some in this congregation. Next Sunday, my understanding is that the first Seahawk game? Or is it on Monday? I don't know. Shows you how much I follow it. However, it is kind of kickoff Sunday for the NFL. So I want to invite you to wear your favorite NFL jersey. If you've got one, go ahead and wear it for next Sunday, because we're also going to be kicking off a new sermon series. You may remember we had that big banner up here of the Old Testament. Well, guess what? There's a New Testament version of it as well. I promise you, I'm going to make this promise, I will not take on a two-year study in the middle of going through it. That's one of the reasons that ours got expanded quite so far. But we will be doing the New Testament. If you want a book, and the book is not required at all, but we will have a sign-up sheet. I've got them ready to print, but I couldn't get printed before the service started. But the book is $20, which is a reasonable price. I saw them for $24.95 on Amazon, but I can get them down to $20. And the one thing I would encourage you all to purchase is the timeline, which is a mirror of what will be showing up here behind me. And that timeline, those will be $5, and we'll throw in a free bookmark, okay? So the bookmark actually will have some scriptures for you to read so that you can kind of know what's going on and check the timeline as well. I see a hand, and we're not Pentecostal, so that means there's a question. Yes.
Is that the same one that we bought for the other one, or is it a different
book? It is a different book, because the other one was Old Testament. The timeline was creation. Remember, it was creation, Abraham, Sinai, kings, exile, and temple. You're not going to find that. You're not going to find the creation narrative in the New Testament. So this one is empty, which is the second part of it. Casket empty. Casket. Remember, we think of a casket. What do we think of? We think of death. Empty, the tomb was empty. Death was conquered in the New Testament. So we'll be looking at that, and I'll have this sitting back there. This is the empty one, and it will say empty, E-M-P-T-Y, as our letters, instead of C-A-S-K-E-T. Makes sense, doesn't it? Almost. Thank you, Steve. I occasionally do make sense. I'm working on that. So our psalm this morning, as our call to worship, is Psalm 139. And I'm going to read selected verses. I'm actually going to read 1 through 6 and then 13 through 18. This is what the psalmist says. Let's kind of quiet our hearts. I rushed up here, so and rushed through that, so I'm calming myself right now. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. And then going down to verse 13, you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. There we go. I couldn't get to change. Wonderful are your works, My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. I wonder if that should be, I am still with you, as in I'm quiet with you, or if it means I remain with you. Something to ponder as our worship team comes up and we do the one-note a cappella worship this morning. Let's sing loud and support them.
Come on, Doxa. Yes, we have the talents of Rita, one-note Rita, to help us get started. We gave Lisa the week off.
We did?
Yes.
Oh, I did.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. Let's pray. Lord God, you did create us. You know every hair on our heads, every part of our bodies, every thought in our mind. We ask you to help us to be still, quiet and peaceful, and to remain in you this morning. Be with our worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may stand if you are able or want to. Teresa, you're excused. We're just so glad you're here. Our first song is Glorify Thy Name.
Father, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify Thy name in all the earth. Glorify Thy and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all. And adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth.
Our next song is I Love You, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King. In what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. And the next one is In Moments Like These. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord, singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you. Amen. You may be seated.
Probably.
Father God, I love you with my whole heart and soul. I thank you for your patience with me. I thank you for the scriptures that allow us to know you better. I thank you for your message. I ask that you give John everything he needs to deliver that message to us. And I ask that you open up our ears, our hearts, our minds, so we can receive the message, apply it to our lives, and give you all the glory. I ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
So if that gets too much for you, when you first turn it on, it's on high, just warning you. You can turn it down. There you go. We don't want people to get blown away. Although, my sermon can blow you away, but that's a whole another kind. Thank you, Rayona, for that prayer. And I want to take a personal note here and just thank you all for your continued support as Mom is out of the hospital now. She's now in a rehab facility. And she is going to have a lot of rehab, apparently. They're scheduling her 6 days a week for, I think it's 6 days for physical therapy and 5 days a week for occupational therapy, or those are flipped around, I don't know which. But that's a lot of therapy. So she's recovering well now, so thank you for your continued prayers, and please continue to pray for her. I appreciate that. A time to pause, the act of resting. That's the theme of this Sunday. Part of it is because last week we finished up a sermon series that we've been doing since the beginning of July, and next week we start a sermon series that will end before Advent. So we're in between two sermon series. But it's also Labor Day tomorrow, which is, for all of those who labor, a time to pause. And so I was thinking about pause, and I thought, that's interesting. I think I can make an acronym out of that. So I've done that. My question for you is, do you take time to rest? We say we take time to rest, but when you go on vacation, do you plan extended times of rest, or do you fill your itinerary with all the things that you want to see and all the shops you want to visit, and you're going the whole time? If one were to look at your calendar, are there spaces for rest, reflection, and rejuvenation, or does it look more like a coloring book and all the spaces are filled in? We don't pause often in our schedules, especially here, I think, in the United States, and our schedules get busier. Now, I'm a big fan of the Olympics. I don't know if you are, but I am, and I am in awe of the dedication of these athletes to their sport. And so I've studied a little bit of the history of the Olympics and the history of some of the athletes. And years ago, back in the 80s, so it's decades ago now, a film came out, a surprise film that took the Academy Award that year. It was Chariots of Fire. I'm sure most of you have seen it. And it was about two runners, Harold Abram and Eric, now I'm blanking on his name, Eric Little. Thank you, I'm glad that popped back in my head. And it was about these two runners. And as I was studying that, one of the things that you see in the movie is Harold Abrams' dedication. He hires a coach, and he's out there working and working and working and working. And that was really unusual, because an athlete back in that time, if they were an Olympic-caliber athlete, and they were really serious about their sport, they would train up to 3 days a week. Our middle school and high school students, athletes, train more than 3 days a week. And so it's kind of interesting to look at the difference that today we've got middle schoolers and high schoolers training more, and then we got to the 80s, and by the 80s, many trainers were saying you needed to train 7 days a week. If you were going to be better than your opponent, you had to train 7 days a week so that you would be the best. And for some, it worked for a while, but for most, it actually made them more prone to injury. And the current trend is to train hard, and have at least 1 day of rest each week. That kind of sounds familiar. In Exodus 20, 8 through 10, it says this: "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God." Now, I'm told that when we're working out, not that I do a lot of working out, but I swim and try and do some exercise, but I'm told that when we're working out that we're actually tearing our muscles apart. This is why you get sore, okay? It's why your muscles swell up too. And right after a workout, you'll see people flexing because their muscles look so much bigger. When I was in seminary, I'd drive along Mountain View Boulevard, and there was a bodybuilding gym, and it had mirrored windows, but the mirrors were on the inside, which was absolutely hysterical driving by, because you see these guys, flexing, and they're staring out the window, and you're driving by, and this guy's looking at you, and you're like, okay, I don't know what's happening there. But you could see through the window, so you could see that it was all mirrors inside. So we're tearing these muscles apart, and when we're at rest, they're rebuilding. At the microscopic level, we're actually tearing the muscle fibers, and as they heal, they reinforce, and that's why muscles get bigger the more we work them. This is why you hear about people doing regular workouts, or people that work out regularly, they'll have a leg day and they'll have an upper body day, and they separate it out so that their body has a chance to rest and rebuild. And that's what pausing does. It gives us time to rebuild, to rejuvenate, to recreate. So we're going to use the word pause as an acronym to think about what it means to rest. So we have this word, P-A-U-S-E. Are you ready? If you want to take notes, feel free to take notes. This is actually good. And as we get ready for this, what I want you all to do, I want us to pause. I want everybody just take a nice big deep breath and exhale. There's been a lot going on this summer, and we're heading into the fall, and we've got to be ready for it. Maybe that's spinning through your head. I want us to have this time to pause. And so we're going to start with the first letter, and the letter is P. And P is for prepare. Prepare. As you look at your calendar, as you look at your week, it helps to pause, take a deep breath, and look at what's coming up. I've done some mountaineering, and when you're on a mountain and you see a steep climb coming up, you pause. You figure out, okay, what pace am I going to take? This is steep. So am I going to go running at it? No. I might want to choose a rest step where you actually take a step, take a breath. Take a step, take a breath. And yes, it's slow, but you know what? You don't have to stop, and you get there. In Matthew 3, 1 through 3, it says this. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who is spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Prepare the way of the Lord. In a real way, that's what we're doing when we pray, is quoted as saying, I have so much to do today, I don't have time not to pray. And he would pray for hours before he went into his day. Think about that. As an Eagle Scout, I know the importance of being prepared. And I was going to affirm you all for not procrastinating, but I decided to put that off. That was a joke. Nobody got it. Hello. Wake up! The truth is, when you prepare, you get ready for what lies ahead. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Years ago, I read a quote that said, and I still like it, if you don't have time to do it right, when will you find the time to do it over? We say we're so busy, and yet sometimes we go into things haphazardly, and we end up having to do them all over again, and that just eats away at more time. The truth is that most procrastinators have a bit of perfectionism in them, and they're afraid of not getting it perfect, so they keep putting it off, and then when they're able to do it, well, it's as good as I could do with the time I had left. It gives them that kind of out. We've got to take time to prepare. The average adult, this was scary, the average adult makes 35,000 decisions each day. You made a bunch already. You know, what shirt will I put on? How will I wear my hair? Not that that's a big decision for me. When am I going to have for breakfast? When the alarm went off, will I get up now or am I going to hit the snooze alarm? You know, all those kind of things, we make decisions 35,000 times a day. That's 245,000 decisions a week, and it's almost 13 million decisions that you make in a year. Knowing that, I think it's probably a good thing to pause, take time to pray, and pray is key to preparation. Thank God for direction you've already seen in your life. Look forward at what lies ahead of you. What tasks are lying ahead of you? What people are you going to meet? What conversations are you going to have, or maybe conversations you need to have that you're not so looking forward to? Pray about them. What challenges will you face? All those decisions. Lord, I've got $35,000 decisions to make today. How am I going to do that? How are you going to spend those decisions? When we prepare, we get ready. We set ourselves up for success. So that's the P, preparation. The next layer is A, and A is for attitude. I don't mean get an attitude or develop an attitude. I mean, when we stop, it allows us to check our attitude. And I'm not saying to hold it back, but are we waking up saying, good morning, God? Or are we waking up saying, good God, it's morning? Our attitude means a lot. Have you ever met people that just always seem to have that positive attitude? They just go into everything and literally things can be blowing up around them and they just seem to have a positive attitude. Well, you know, we'll get through this like we got through everything else. I think it's because they take the time to check their attitude. Proverbs tells us that a glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is crushed. It's amazing. Our Bible speaks to these things. In Philippians, Paul wrote to the Philippian church, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. By stopping, pausing, we get a chance to check our attitude. If you're finding yourself muttering under your breath a lot, it might be time to maybe take a pause and find that rest, to check our attitude. What is it that's upsetting you? What is making you angry? What is making you irritable? Is your heart in the right place? Are you hopeful and positive, or are you down and negative? James 5:13 says, if any one of you, among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Your attitude will impact much of what you do, and it will impact those around you and how they react to you. The next letter in pause, we've done P and A, so the next letter is U, and that stands for understanding. So as we take a pause, it allows us to gain perspective. Perspective allows us to step back and take a look at the bigger picture, get the 35,000-foot view, as people talk about, or to examine certain situations, tasks, conversations, or even individuals from different perspectives outside of the heat of the moment. You know? They may have a point, we might find ourselves saying. Even Paul had to remind Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. He says, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. The Lord's the one that gives us understanding. So take that time to pause. Take that deep breath. Check our attitude. Gain understanding. Earlier I said that prayer is the key to preparation. Philippians 4, Paul wrote in verse 4-6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then he concludes with verse 7, where he says, and the peace of God, is that up there? Nope, there it is. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, it surpasses all understanding, guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So now we get to the S. The S is for Scripture. For years, I've been told by people that they don't have time to read Scripture. The truth is that even church-going Christians don't read Scripture on average anymore, more than once a week. And my guess is when they're reporting that once a week, it's because they're reading it off the screen in the church services. They're not necessarily picking up their own Bible and reading it. That's sad to me. Folks, our Bibles, this book, which I don't have one up here, do I? I have a hymnal. Oh, there's a Bible. This book will absolutely change your life if we're reading it. Not because of the simple words on a page, but because this book contains the Word of God. It's God's Word to us. In Proverbs 20:15, that we read, there is gold and an abundance of costly stones, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. In the New American Standard, I think it reads that as a far more precious jewel. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, they give us powerful words. You probably know these. All scripture is God-breathed, or is breathed out by God, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God's word to us is profitable. It teaches us. It teaches us who God is. It teaches us who we are, what God calls us to do, how God empowers us to do those things. God's word is for reproof and correction. It casts light on those areas of our life that are not pleasing to God. God's word is essentially the instruction book of how we were created, of what we were created for, how we were created, and how we're supposed to be living. Training in righteousness, that's the next part of the passage. God's word trains us to function at our greatest capacity, training us to live the lives that we were created for. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I honestly believe the greatest life that you can possibly live is the life that you were created for. And that's not just corporately, that's also individually. Each one of you was given different gifts than the other. And as we come together with all these different gifts. I am the one that is notorious for using tools for what they weren't created for. My dad used to get on me all the time because I would flip around a screwdriver and use the handle of the screwdriver to drive a nail. That was fine until I broke. Finally, he said, "You're going to break a handle." I go, "No, it won't." And I kept pounding. And eventually, it didn't happen that time, but later on, I did break a handle and bought my dad a new set of screwdrivers. Not that he needed any. He had several sets, but I bought him a set of screwdrivers to replace the one I had. It teaches us. It's reproof and corrections. It's training in righteousness. And finally, in our acronym, we come to that letter E. And we realize that when we pause, we get energized. We get energized. When we take the time to pause, to rest from our labor, we regain perspective. We're able to take that step back, take a breath. Okay, I'm ready. If you ever had to go into that difficult meeting or perhaps an interview, and maybe before you went in, you kind of, okay. Cammy, maybe you do this on the first day of school when you got to face my class. Okay, I'm ready. And open that door and kids come rushing in. I'm sure they're all excited to learn. So happy to see you, I'm sure. Most of the time. When we take time to pause, we regain perspectives, we prepare, we check our attitude, we seek better understanding, we dig into the scriptures, and that launches us in a very real way to what lies ahead. Paul wrote again to the Philippians, "Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." I think a lot of times when we don't pause to reflect on the past, it keeps haunting us. And so we're holding on to it like this, and we can't go anywhere because we're holding on to our past. We can't move forward. When we take time to pause, we can go, okay, yes, that happened. Yes, that hurt, and we acknowledge it, and we receive from God the healing that we may need from some of the things that happened in our past, or we see those things in our past that are giving us that launch pad with which to jump into the future, to jump into whatever it is that God is leading us to. But we've got to let go of that past. We've got to move forward. And when we take time to pause, it gives us that time to do that reflection. Without that reflection, I don't think we move forward. When we take time to pause each week, it gives us time to reflect on the past week, but it gives us time to let go of that and launch into the next week. It gives us time to think of what it is that we're facing and what it is that might come up, and maybe even mentally have those mental conversations ahead of time so that we think about, okay, well, if I say, ooh, I better not say it that way because that could be taken wrong. I'm going to, in that situation, in that conversation, so we plan on what we're going to say. I get myself in trouble more times because I didn't think about the conversation ahead of time. I'm a skier, and I've skied for most of my life, and one of my favorite things about skiing are high-speed carved turns. And the reason I like them is that, well, there's a lot of reasons I like them. One, I really like going fast when I'm on skis. But when you do a high-speed carved turn, so you're coming around, your skis are on edge, and as they're coming around, you are compressing and compressing and compressing, and you feel very heavy. But when you're doing link carved turns, you're going to roll the skis onto what's their outer edge, and you're literally throwing yourself down the mountain. So if this is down, I need something to prop me up because I'm not going fast on skis right now, in case you haven't noticed. So I'm getting compressed. That's down the mountain, and I'm going to throw myself out onto what is now, was the outer edge. Now it becomes the inner edge of that turn, and it starts to carve around until I'm compressed again on this side, and I throw myself again over. And you can see this when you watch a skier come down the hill on the races. They get compressed and their skis go out. And they get compressed and their skis go out. And that's exactly what's happening. They're throwing themselves down the hill. And there's a feeling in that moment when you literally launch that you feel absolutely weightless. Because you're just hurling yourself into the air in general, but your skis are still on the ground and they carve around. That moment of weightlessness is one of my favorite things about doing those turns. It's exhilarating, it's exciting, and it's fun. Think about the times in your life when you felt the most alive. My guess is, if you're honest, and I'm willing to bet that if you're honest, it's a time when you were stepping out in faith. It's a time where you were doing something that was exciting. Maybe you think back to, as a child, that first time going off a high dive, or maybe just a regular diving board. Maybe it was a time when you weren't so sure and you decided to go on that trip, or maybe it's a time when you and your family picked up and moved. And it was kind of a scary time, and you move and you go to this new place and you make new friends and new jobs and all those kind of things. Maybe it was a time when you decided to interview for a job that you weren't quite sure that you were qualified for, but you really had a passion for it and you really wanted to try it. Maybe it was starting a new sport. I don't know what it was, but I'm willing to bet that it was stepping out in a way that maybe wasn't normal for you. It's a time when you threw yourself over your edges and trusted. But it is so much better and so much more confident when it comes from a place of pause. As we have an opportunity today and even tomorrow, I hope that you will take time to pause. As we look at Labor Day tomorrow, today is Sunday. It's a day most of us take as a Sabbath. But I want you to pause so that you'll be energized as we continue to move forward in that upward call of Christ. Let me pray for you. Holy God, your word is so clear that we need to take time to pause, and yet we feel like we don't have time to pause. We feel like we have so much to get done and so many people relying on us that there's no time for rest. And yet you tell us in your word, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you that time to pause. Because God, you're the one that's in control. We're not. So God, I pray for each person here, each person that's listening online, whether they're joining us in Zoom, some people maybe in our parking lot, and that God, I ask that you would give each of us that trust in you. Help us pause this week. Help us look forward and plan to prepare, to check our attitude, to seek understanding, to read your word in Scripture, and to be energized as we move into this next week. And God, I pray that it might all be to your glory. And I know that they're going to see amazing things happen. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's prepare our hearts and minds for communion by singing together. Let us break bread together on our knees.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, on me. Let us drink the cup together on our knees. Let us drink the cup together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Let us praise God together on our knees. Let us praise God together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me.
As we come to communion this morning, I want to make sure that everybody has a communion cup. Is there anybody that does not have a communion cup? Looks like everybody's got one, Cammie. Thank you. So we come to the table. We pause. We've been invited to a feast. We've been invited to a meal with a dear friend. And as we come to that table, perhaps some of us don't feel like, oh, I don't have the right clothes to wear to this party. I've been out working. I'm sweaty. I'm smelly. I'm dirty. And Jesus says, come. This table is not for those who are perfect. This table is for those who are seeking Christ. For all those who profess Jesus as their Savior, this table is open. And Jesus says, come. It's not the Presbyterian table. It's not Mission Woods table. It's not even just a regular table. This is Jesus' table. And Jesus says, come. As we come, I want us to join together. The Nicene Creed is printed in your bulletin. It will also be up on the screen, I believe. Do we have it? It's not in there? Okay, so it's in your bulletin. Nicene Creed. Let's stand as we profess our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who is spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. On the night in which Jesus was to be betrayed, he gathered with his disciples, his friends, some of whom, well, all of whom would desert him within the next 24 hours. But he gathered with them, including the one that would betray him. And as he gathered, they were there to celebrate the Passover, a very important meal reflecting on what God had done in the past so that it would launch them into their faith in the future. And on that night, after giving thanks, Jesus took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for me." And after the meal, in much the same way, he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." And Paul tells us that as often as you eat this bread or drink this cup, you declare the Lord's death until he comes again. What an amazing thought. As we prepare for communion, will you join your hearts with me in prayer? Holy God, thank you. Thank you for the simple meal and for all that it represents. God, we ask now that you would take our small pieces of bread and these little cups of juice, that you would set them aside for your divine purpose, that we would remember that the body is your body is represented in the bread. That we would remember that your blood shed for our sins is remembered in the juice. God, reveal yourself to us as we participate in this amazing gift of such a small meal. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to peel back the top piece of that cellophane and remove the wafer. Christ's body has been broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of him. In the same way he took the cup, so in the same way, let us take the cup, only we're going to remove that little bit of foil there. Remember that Christ's blood was shed for you. Drink ye all of it. Please join me in prayer. God, thank you for the blessed gift of this sacrament. Something sacred, and yet represented by such simple elements. God, sometimes we want to make salvation very complicated. We try and make following you really complicated. And yet, you made it all about relationship. So God, I pray that as we have eaten this wafer, as we've drank this juice, Lord, I pray as that becomes a part of us, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill each one of us. And as you fill us, Lord, may we receive you into our whole being. That we may be filled with your Holy Spirit, filled with the joy that comes only from you, filled with understanding, filled with peace. God, may we be thankful for taking the time today to pause and reflect upon you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have come to the table, come to communion, we have, as we've come to worship, in a very real way, offered ourselves to God in worship. And so let's continue in that mode, in that idea of offering as we bring our tangible, visible gifts to God by presenting him with his tithes and our offerings.
Stand for the doxology.
God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
You may be seated.
We come to the portion of our service where we share our joys and concerns. So if you have, if you have a praise that you have to share, we would love to hear it and pray with you. And if you have a concern, we would love to lift that up in prayer as well. So are there some joys or concerns that that people have? Oh, we got quite a few here. Okay. Sharon?
Teresa is back with us again.
Teresa's here. Yay, praise Teresa. God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes.
And you have another?
Yes.
Oh, she's got another.
Don and Mary have had COVID, but they're recuperating now, and they're staying home until they feel safe to come back to worship with us.
So for Don and Mary, we pray for recovery from COVID. Lord, have mercy. Rayona, excuse me.
I have a concern. My mother-in-law, Betty, has gotten a UTI, and so prayers of healing for her and prayers of peace that surpasses all understanding. Kathy came back yesterday to pick up her mother and bring her back home to try to stabilize her and get her through the infection.
So we pray for your mother-in-law with the infection, and we pray for a quick recovery there.
Yes.
Lord, have mercy. Steve.
I'm surprised you didn't say this one, or actually anybody was here yesterday. The celebration of Nancy Geschke, and that was a wonderful time yesterday just to celebrate the life of somebody that, you know, within the family of this church.
Yeah, it really was, and we praise God for that. And I think the entire Schinkel family is just taking a time to pause today,
yes,
which is much deserved. They have had, it wasn't just preparing for the memorial, but there was a whole lot of other things that were happening all at the same time. And so for all of them, and they all did so well speaking. Mm-hmm. So we praise God for that celebration. Any other joys or concerns? I have a praise. Many of you have been praying for my mom. She was supposed to be moved from the hospital to a rehab facility on Wednesday and somehow came down with yet another infection, which turned out to be, they think, pneumonia. But they caught it really, really early. And so she's going to be finishing up her antibiotics here in just a couple days, but she is now in a rehab facility. She's at Life Care Center, and so we're happy about that and going to be getting lots of rehab, so praise God. Any other joys, concerns? Let's continue to pray. There's a bunch here in the bulletin. God, we lift up to you and just celebrate, Lord, the Jan has been discharged from the rehab facility and home where she will have some more health care. We thank you with the Schinkels, for the joy of a new puppy in the midst of all the chaos of planning a memorial service, Lord, the joy and also the need for patience there. Thank you also just for the family and how they shared their hearts with us yesterday as we celebrated and had a service of witness of the resurrection for Nancy Geschke. And just thank you for her life. And we look forward to seeing her again. We thank you that she continues to live with you. Lord, we pray for Joan, or Joanne, is it Joanne, Jody?
Joan.
Okay. for Joan, and Lord, she's fallen and broken her hip. God, pray for healing and God's peace. For Leanne, we pray she's gotten shingles on her back. Lord, healing and pain control. My mom, I thank you that her shingles has not been very painful. She's been able to handle it with Tylenol. But God, we know that she's got a road ahead of her. And so we just pray for her own patience with herself and as she continues to heal. For Scott, we pray for peace and comfort as he deals with his mother Betty's declining health. And we've already prayed for the infection she has. And God, for Drew, who's struggling with health issues, we pray for that he will be open to the help he needs. We pray for Donnie, the boyfriend of Carrie's niece, and we just pray for a good diagnosis and effective treatment to his recent medical issues. And we continue to lift up to you, Rachel. She did such a great job yesterday as well, and just prayers for her overall health. God, we cannot be blind to what's going on around in our world. We continue to pray for Ukraine. We continue to pray for Haiti. We continue to pray for all these areas around the world where there are issues going on and just division. And God, even in our own country, we see division. And we see people wanting to make enemies of the other side. And I'm not pointing fingers because both sides are doing it. All sides are doing it. And so, God, we do pray. We pray that we would be people of peace. And help us, Lord. One of the things in this congregation is that we come from all political stripes, all theological stripes, and we are here as one body. And God, I truly love that. And I like the fact that we are able to have conversations and trust and listen and seek to understand. We may continue to disagree, but we can genuinely love one another and move forward. And we pray that for our country as well. God, we thank you that you have given our churches, your followers, your disciples, you've given us a way to pray that we can come before you anytime, anywhere, any place, and we can lift up to you prayer. We can come into your very throne room. And you gave us a prayer to pray, and so we pray it saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, you do.
Announcements. We have a session meeting next week, so if you're on session, be ready for that.
Looks just like it.
Yeah, it does. Deacons, you're going to meet on the 18th.
Nope.
Nope.
No, it's Sunday after that.
The Sunday after that.
That's the Sunday of the Super Bowl. The garage sale and on the coast. So we moved it.
The big garage sale. On the coast. Okay. So we're going to postpone it for another week. So 3 weeks till Deacons. Okay. The Pearls, you're going to start on the third Monday. Is that correct? So this will be the first. 2 more weeks. And they'll meet from 5 to 6. Bible study will be resuming on September 21st at 6 p.m. If you have any questions, talk to Carrie or Lance. Or me, and we'll get you hooked up. And don't forget to, if you want to sign up for the book, Empty, or the timeline, talk to Pastor John.
Okay. Seahawks jerseys next week.
Seahawks next week. Or any jersey.
It's kickoff.
Yeah. Okay.
Kickoff.
Worship team, come on up. We're going to do our sending hymn. Please stand if you're able.
Thou, O Lord, are a shield about me. You're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, are a shield about me. You're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. Alleluia. 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 You're the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, are a shield about me. You're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, are a shield about me. You're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. You're the lifter of my head.
So I know that many of you are retired, but I also know that some of you work and you have the day off tomorrow. I want to encourage you, if you are retired and you typically don't have the day off, take a day of rest. Let's take time to pause, to prepare for what's ahead, to check our attitude, to gain understanding, to read some scripture, and to be energized that God leads us to where God would have us be. And now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all we can ask or even imagine, to him be all glory, honor, and praise, both now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Join us for fellowship in the back.
Call of God and country.